19 away from 6.
The Huddle with New Zealand Sotheby's International Realty, delivering premium results.
With me on The Huddle, we've got Josie Bagani and Ben Thomas. Hello, you two.
Hello.
Kia ora.
Josie, are you on Team Chloe or Team Shane?
Well, look, I understand why she wants to get rid of coal. Coal is dirty. It's got the highest emissions of any of the fossil fuels we use. But look, I mean, the point about a just transition is you've got to be realistic. And, you know, if they had, if the former government hadn't banned oil and gas, we could transition much quicker from coal to gas for those things that our economy uses that we need, like steel, like Fonterra and dairy. Now, just think about steel. I mean, steel is every building you look at, every car, the knife and fork you use. I mean, okay, you can use a bamboo one, but, you know.
It's better.
The point is we're not going to transition off that stuff in a hurry, and we can't unless – I mean, I look back, you look back to 1800, we were completely renewable in 1800. No one wants to go back to 1800. So we've got to have a transition that takes into account a true and honest account of the costs on our economy and who's going to pay for it.
And so what you're saying in a long way is we need coal. And so the question is, do we bring in the coal or do we dig up the coal ourselves?
And be realistic about if you're not going to use coal, then look at if you're going to use gas, then don't do an oil and gas ban.
Ben?
Well, I mean, the question of who brings in the coal is sort of almost sort of beside the point as well, because a lot of the coal that we could dig out of the ground and have dug out of the ground in the past is actually really high quality coal that's used in steel manufacture, not for fireplaces or furnaces. And I think that's what sort of Shane Jones was getting at, was actually this is a pretty good export earner for New Zealand.
Yeah.
as Josie said, it's coal that isn't going to be sort of replaced by, you know, other personal heating devices because it's used in industrial processes. So we'll be bringing in, you know, coal to burn in New Zealand from Indonesia, you know, lower quality coal, but we'll be making much better export receipts to countries that would be burning it anyway from a more dirty source.
Yeah. And then we can pay for all the stuff we want, Josie.
I think if the Greens were open to having that discussion about what does a transition look like. And actually the best, if you want to get rid of coal, rather than trying to say, well, be honest, if you want to ban it, pass legislation to ban it. Don't make it so hard that you can't resource consent it. So be honest about the fact that, you know, if you want to price the dirtiest fossil fuel, which is coal, then have a carbon tax. Price it really, make it difficult and expensive to use, but don't just say we're going to make it really hard for you to resource consent it.
Yeah.
Or if you want to be really honest, ban it. But also be honest about how much it's going to cost and who's going to pay, because people aren't prepared to pay. I mean, net zero by 2050, Heather, would cost people about $5,000 a year. People aren't going to pay that.
No,
so
it's not going to happen, is it?
It's not going to happen. You just got to. You've got to be realistic.
All right.
If you want to win support.
All right. We'll take a break. Come back to these two: Joe Spagani, Ben Thomas. Our Huddle.
The Huddle with New Zealand Sotheby's International Realty, delivering premium results.
Right, back with the Huddle, Joe Spagani, Ben Thomas. Ben, are you optimistic about Stuff doing this TV3 bulletin for Warner Brothers Discovery?
I mean, I think it's great news. I think it's a sort of a rare ray of sunshine in the current media landscape, you know, particularly in terms of saving some jobs. It's a chance to reimagine, you know, what a news bulletin looks like in terms of, you know, will it be a bit of a throwback to the old days, one person sort of reading a bit more news as opposed to everything being kind of live to camera. Am I optimistic? Look, the track record of print and you know print going into on screen is mixed. So, but look, we you know NZME has its own sort of successes. Madison Reedy's show, her business show on NZME is you know fantastic. So look, I think we all have to be hopeful about the future for it.
What do you think, Josie? Because I mean, Shane Curry was in here earlier saying this is just basically extending the life for 3 years to mop up the last of the TV advertising revenue, and that's all it is.
So we don't know yet whether they're going to do that, but also ultimately come up with a different business model. Like
yeah.
Saying Ben,
so you think they may be doing this while also innovating?
Well, if they don't, it's over.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, you're just prolonging it. So whether they're going to look at it and go, right, no one's watching 6 o'clock news anymore. I mean, I think it's nearly 90% of Americans get their news on smartphones. So we would be pretty much similar to that, I think. I think half of the adults in the UK use social media to get their news.
Yeah.
So most people aren't watching the 6 o'clock news. So if they can come up with a product that looks like, you know, for me, I don't watch 6 o'clock news, but I will go into News Hub or TVNZ or whatever to watch bits of news stories, you know, and pull them out and watch them after.
Selectively.
You know, yeah. So I think if they can come up with something that looks like that, then you know, it's got longevity. The interesting thing here is, turns out we didn't need the government to bail it out.
Hey, so how about that?
Thank God they didn't.
I was reflecting on that this morning, actually. I was thinking, geez, we look to the government to fix absolutely everything in our lives. We need to stop doing that. In fact, the less that we do that, the better,
right? Change my light bulb.
Yeah, exactly. How did that go last time? Ben, do you think David Seymour's right describing Jacinda Ardern as authoritarian?
I mean, I think he was talking about, you know, during the COVID-19 period. And I think if you think back to a period where we were all essentially isolated, you know, confined to our houses, except for one little walk per day. And then after sort of 5 weeks, we were allowed to get takeaways delivered. I think authoritarian is, you know, a relatively sort of benign way of describing it.
Small A authoritarian.
Jacinda Ardern is not an authoritarian. The Labour New Zealand First government was not an authoritarian regime, but there were authoritarian laws put in place for COVID. And there's nothing, there were extraordinary circumstances. But, you know, crises, disasters, you find that the balance between individual freedoms and the sort of following the rules shifts.
Josie?
I think it's classic David Seymour, isn't it, where he makes a bit of a sort of off, slightly off-colour, witty comment.
That and, you kind of go, and the press gallery are like, what goes, is this?
Who said she's a dictator?
Yeah, because the press gallery has literally never confronted this as an actual acceptable idea.
So I think that's why it's a story, right? Because there is actually some substance there, as you say, Ben, that we do need the COVID inquiry to look at, wow, MIQ, did we need to do that? Did we need to close the schools and kids have missed, you know, X number of years?
Did we have to confiscate private businesses' rat kits? Did Jacinda have to tell you cannot wear in your friend's
did
house?
Did we have to say, thanks for that image, Heather.
That's right.
Did we have to say that, you know, you can go to the supermarket but you can't go to the butcher? Why can't the butcher be safe?
Yeah, exactly.
So all of those questions are legitimate. So the reason David Seymour makes a joke like that is it resonates with people like us who are going, well, there are questions to be answered.
Yeah.
Not because you want to blame, but because you want to learn from the experience.
Yes. Now, here's my follow-up question to this, Ben Thomas. Is it smart for Christopher Luxon to immediately go, oh, no, that's smart. No, I don't think that. Or actually, should he be intellectually honest and go, yeah, a little bit. There's a bit of something there.
I mean, there's an argument that he doesn't need to.
He should probably just have said, I want to stay out of this weird thing that David Seymour's got with Jacinda Ardern, right?
I think his strategy right now is to stay out of the weird stuff that his deputies have with everything.
whether it's Jacinda
Ardern and totalitarianism or Auckland University and sort of Jim Crow era United States. I think that there are three quite parallel realities happening in government a lot of the time, and Christopher Luxon, you know, knows to stay in his lane.
I think his response was probably quite, you know, it was quite neutral. It was like,
no,
well,
it wasn't.
That's not my view, blah, blah, blah.
It annoyed me. It immediately annoyed me because he said, that's not what I don't agree. And I'm like, well, why don't you agree? If you're smart enough, you can see what the point that he's
what
trying
to make.
What
he should have said is what we just said, which is, well, there are issues to be.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't say she's authoritarian, but yes, and he did say that's why the terms of reference of the COVID inquiry will be.
Yeah, well, you know,
blah, blah.
You did it better than he did, though, didn't you? Guys, thank you both of you. Really appreciate it. Joseph Bagani and Ben Thomas, our huddle this evening.
For more from Heather Duplessy-Allen Drive, listen live to News Talk ZB from 4 p.m. weekdays or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.